Comedy Special Christmas Show with Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Rochester, Bob Crosby, the Sportsman Quartet, yours truly, Don Wilson, with special guests June Allison and Frances Bergen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure and deepest respect that I present the star of our show, a man who's not only the dean of American comedy, but who, like the tide, keeps rolling along month after month, year in and year out, who, despite the wearing of the elements and the ravages of time, only gains in quality, and who, although failing in memory, has managed to grope his way to the microphone, and here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Life with Methuselah. Oh, Don.
Yes, what is it, Jack?
Look, I don't want to start off by complaining, but here we are doing a big special Christmas show, and you have to introduce me like that.
Well, Jack, I thought I gave you a very nice send-off.
Don, after that introduction, the people won't know whether to expect jokes or organ music. Made me sound 300 years old.
Well, believe me, Jack, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, you didn't, eh? Well, look, Don, we have a show to do tonight, so let's...
Jack, if I'd had any idea that you would misconstrue what was meant to be a compliment, I certainly wouldn't have said it.
Okay, Don, okay, let's forget it now.
I can't forget it. I wouldn't say anything to hurt you for the world.
All right.
As a matter of fact, when I thought of that introduction and told it to my wife, and she said, Donald, that's beautiful. I'm so glad you're not going to say anything to make that old goat unhappy.
Don, your wife called me an old goat?
Well...
Don, has your wife, by any chance, seen the contract you have with me?
How could she miss it? You had it tattooed on my chest.
Well, the next time you take a deep breath, have her read the small print. I can fire you anytime.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. You can't let me go after all the years I've been with you. I started as your announcer in 1934. During all these 22 years, I've given you loyalty and devotion.
Some loyalty. Every time I cut your salary, you tell everybody. Now, Don, why don't you just...
If you ever cut my salary, my mother would slap your silly face.
Dennis, I wasn't talking to you.
Well, it's about time you did. I've been here since 5:30 this morning.
5:30 this morning? How come you got here so early?
Well, I have to come by bus, and I wanted to make sure I'd be here on time.
Oh. How far do you live from here?
3 miles.
Well, if you only live 3 miles away, why did you start out so early?
Who knew I'd take the right bus?
Well, then you did take the right bus.
It must have been. It got me to San Diego in time to catch the plane back here.
Wait a minute, Dennis. You took a bus to San Diego and then flew back here to Los Angeles. Now, why would you do that?
Well, the only way I know how to get to the studio is from the airport.
Now, cut that out! Now, where was I? Oh, yes. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
You want to fire me? Go ahead. Huh? You need me on this show.
Look, Don...
How many laughs would you get if I weren't a big, fat slob?
Don, nobody's firing you, and nobody's mad, so just forget about the whole thing, will you?
Hello, Jack.
Well, Bob Crosby.
Everyone. Hello, Dennis.
I've been here since 5:30 this morning.
Dennis, nobody's interested.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm late, Jack, but... Well, I've been with my agent lining up some guest stars for my afternoon television show.
Oh, that must be quite a problem when you're on every day like you are. Huh?
Well, Jack, we've managed all right so far.
I don't see how you do it. You know, the trouble I have getting guest stars for my TV show, and it's only on every other week.
Well, Jack, we've worked out an entirely different system for getting guests than the one that you use.
A different system? Well, I mean, how does yours work?
Well, we pay them.
You, Bob, You pay your guest stars?
Yeah, you ought to try it sometime.
Look, it's your system. Why should I steal it? Now, how about a song, Bob?
Okay,
let's have it.
Suntanned, wind-blown, honeymooners at last alone, feeling far above par. Oh, how lucky we are, while I give to you, and you give to me. Love, oh, such true love. So on and on it will always be. True love, yes, true love. For you and I have a guardian angel on high, with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me love forever true. For you and I have a guardian angel on high, with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me love forever true.
Was very, very good.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it, Jack. But, gee, I looked over at you while I was singing that number, and I had the feeling that you were upset.
Well, it had nothing to do with your singing, Bob. I just thought that since we're trying to do a big, classy show tonight, you should have hired some other musicians instead of my regular orchestra, the same gang here.
A different orchestra? Well, Jack, I think this is one of the finest musical aggregations that I've ever worked with.
Oh, you do, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, I'd like to ask you a question. Let's say about Don Rice, for instance, the bass player.
Don Rice? Yeah. Hey, nobody slaps a bass like he does.
That's what I'm getting at. Why is it he always sticks his hand in a bucket of water before he slaps the bass?
To force a habit.
What?
Well, he used to work in a brewery slapping labels on beer bottles.
I'll accept your explanation of Mr. Rice's musical eccentricities, but what about Bagby, your piano player?
Oh, what about good old Bag?
Well, Bob, I won't say anything about the fact that he's on parole. But he can't read music. He doesn't know the white keys from the black keys. I never saw such a crazy-looking piano. Now, what's that extra pedal for?
Well, that was Bagby's idea.
Four pedals on a piano? What are they?
Well, they're soft, medium, loud, and gas.
Gas pedal?
He never knows when he's going to have to make a getaway.
Well, that answers my other question. I was going to ask why the piano has white sidewall tires.
Well, Bagby thinks of everything, Jack.
Well, it's too bad he doesn't think a little more about music.
What'd you say?
I said it's too bad he doesn't think a little more about music.
Oh, no.
Bob, you know as well as I do, not only does Bagby play by ear, but if it isn't in the key of C, he can't play at all.
Oh, he can't, huh? Okay, Jack, you asked for it now. Bagby.
Yeah?
Come here a minute. Well, you said that all he knows is in the key of C. Well, let's find out. Go ahead and ask him anything at all.
Okay. Now, Bagby, how about something with three sharps?
Okay, Charlie, go ahead. Give him something with three sharps.
Well,
think hard, Charlie. Come on.
Oh, I know. The Andante movement from The Barber of Seville by Gillette.
wait a minute. Let me get this right. The Andante movement from the Barber of Seville by Gillette. Three sharps?
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp.
I apologize, Bob. You can tell Bagby to go now.
Okay, Charlie, you can go now.
He drove the piano right out of the studio. You know, sometimes I
Pardon me, but I have a package for Mr. Benny.
Oh, I'll take it, boy.
Yes, sir. Sign right here, please.
Certainly. There.
Thank you.
Oh, just a minute, boy. Here's a tip for you.
Thank you.
Hey, fellas, look at this beautiful package that just came, isn't it? Boy, you can go.
Aren't you going to open it?
What?
The package. Please. Please open it.
It says don't open till Christmas. Why should I open it now?
You gotta. I can't stand it any longer. For 2 weeks now, without a day off, I'm delivering Christmas packages. Big ones, small ones, green ones, red ones, blue ones, white ones.
Look, boy.
I keep trying to guess what's in these packages. The big ones, the small ones, the green ones, the red ones.
Boy, take it easy.
I can't help it. At night when I get home, I can't eat, I can't sleep. I keep thinking, what's in those packages? The red ones, the green ones, the big ones. It's driving me nuts.
Look, fellow.
Please open it.
All right, I'll open it.
He's gonna open it. He's gonna open it. Hurry!
Well, control yourself. I'm opening it. Look, I'm opening it. There, it's open. It's from my old friend, Julius Seneca.
I don't care who it's from. What is it?
Here, you see, it's an ashtray.
Oh, goody. It's an ashtray. Now I can sleep tonight. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to know and thank you, sir. Good day.
Gosh, it takes so little to make some people happy. Well, to get on with the show, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce... Don, would you get the phone, please?
Get it yourself. I'm not working here anymore.
Don, I didn't fire you.
Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here.
I've been here since 5:30 this morning.
Oh, for heaven's sake! Hello?
Hello, Jack. This is Mary.
Mary, where are you calling from?
I'm at home, Jack, and I was just wondering if you still wanted me to help you with your Christmas shopping.
Yeah, I wish you would.
Well, I've got some time today.
Wonderful. I'll come by and pick you up right after the show.
Fine, I'll be ready. Oh, and by the way, Jack, I meant to thank you for giving me my Christmas bonus in advance.
That's all right, Mary. What'd you do with it?
I added $5 to it and gave it to my maid for her bonus.
Gee, that's nice. Well, I'll see you later, Mary.
Okay, bye, Jack.
Bye. Oh, Mary, where are you?
Here I am, Jack, right behind you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mary, how'd you like the way I wiggled myself through that crowd in front of the store? Huh?
Those rumble lessons you took from Arthur Murray really helped.
I'll say. Boy, these stores are sure jammed.
Pardon me, mister. Did you see my wife?
Huh? Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Did you see my wife?
No, I haven't. As a matter of fact, I don't even know your wife.
Then how do you know you didn't see her?
Now, mister, how could I...
Can't stand here jabbering. I better go look for her. Chloe!
What did I do with that shopping list I had?
Oh, here it is, Jack.
Oh, yes. Now, let's see. I've already gotten gifts from my producer, my sound man, and my script girl... Mary, I still haven't got anything from my sister Florence in Chicago. Have you got any ideas for her?
Gee, I don't know.
It ought to be something nice. You know, Mary, I have no brothers and no other sisters. Florence is only my only close relative. I ought to get her something nice.
What'd you get her last year?
A pencil sharpener.
Oh, how sweet, Jack. But then she is your only sister.
We've always been very close. She writes to me all the time, you know.
When you have a house full of sharp pencil, you got to do something.
Mary, don't be so... Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, that's perfectly... Well, hello, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Kitzer.
Oh, my, I see the Yule time is catching up with you. You too, Miss Livingstone.
Yes. Are you doing your Christmas shopping, Mr. Kitzel?
Just look on this armload of bundles. Oh, my, the things I am buying. For my wife, I'm getting a house coat, and for my nephew, I'm getting some electric trains.
Lionel?
No, his name is Sam. Well, excuse me, Mr. Benny. I got to run over to the liquor department to buy a present for my brother. I'm going to get him some of that expensive imported brandy.
Oh, Napoleon?
No, his name is Lionel.
Oh.
Well, I got to bid you goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Kitzel.
Same to you.
Ah, that Mr. Kitzel, such a jolly fellow. Mary, Mary, now where did she go? Oh, there she is at the end of the counter.
Harry!
May I wait on you, miss?
Yes, I'd like to get something for a gentleman.
A gentleman? Your husband?
No, my boss. I've worked with him for an awfully long time, and I'd like to show my appreciation.
Oh, here's something nice, a gold tie clasp.
A gold tie clasp? No.
Well, how about a gold keychain?
No.
Well, how about gold cufflinks?
Look, mister, I don't want to get him anything he can melt down. I wish I could think of something.
Well, if he's your boss, you want to get him something nice. After all, he's responsible for your bread and butter.
Only bread.
Oh. Well, tell me, miss, what kind of a man is your boss?
Oh, there's nothing unusual about him. He's average height, average weight.
How old is he?
Well, he says he's around 39.
Around 39, huh?
Yeah, but I think it's the second time around.
How about a pair of military brushes? He certainly can use those, can't he?
Only if his head itches.
Well, he is quite a problem. Well, perhaps I could help you better if you told me how closely you two are associated. Are you engaged?
No, we're not.
Well, is he your boyfriend?
No, as a matter of fact, he treats me more like a sister.
How about a pencil sharpener?
Pencil sharpener?
Yes, we ship one to Chicago every year. It goes to a girl named Flossie.
Oh, no. You mean Florence.
I feel like I know her.
Mary, let's not keep losing each other. I spend more time...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello.
It's on its way to Chicago.
Oh, well, wait a minute. This year, I'm not going to get my sister... I'm going to get my sister something different, you know?
Oh, you are. Ha, ha, ha.
Mary, will you stop looking at me that way? I was planning all along to get Florence something else. That's what you're here for, to help me.
Chloe!
Let's see, now first...
Say, Jack... I just thought of something.
What, Mary?
Your sister Florence has a hi-fi set, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Well, here's the record section. Maybe you could send her a nice album.
Hey, that's an idea. Let's have a look.
Now, this is a wonderful record department. You know, a lot of the biggest recording artists have appeared here in person.
Yeah, and they have such a big selection of everything. I'll bet they... Say, what's this plaque on the wall? Elvis Presley shook here. some show albums, My Fair Lady, Most Happy Fellow, Mr. Wonderful.
Now, Jack, don't buy up the whole store.
Well, Frances Bergen.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Frances. Where's Edgar?
Oh, he's across the street buying a Christmas gift at the Jaguar Agency.
The Jaguar Agency?
Yes. He's picked out a gorgeous car, but it's blue, and now he's wondering if he should be giving a yellow one.
You mean Edgar gives a Jaguar for a Christmas gift and he's fussy about the color yet?
Well, naturally, Jack. After all, it's for his only sister.
Frances, maybe we can meet Edgar and all have a bite together.
Gee, I'd love to, Mary, but I'm supposed to be here all day autographing copies of my record album. You know, the one I did for Columbia.
Well, I certainly do. I've got it. And, Frances, I think you did those songs just beautifully.
Well, thank you.
How's it selling, Frances?
Well, very good. And, Jack, it was so sweet of you to write the program notes for the cover of the album.
Well, I try to keep it as clever as I could, you know. You know, speaking of records, I just did an album of classical violin solos.
Hmm, under what label?
It's for the Pep Boys, and you can buy it at any filling station.
You don't have to buy it. They give it to you with an oil change. Now, Frances, pardon me, Miss Bergen, but I've been looking for your album, and I can't seem to find it.
My album? Oh, right over at this counter. Here's one.
Oh, thank you. Before I buy it, do you suppose I could hear one of the songs?
Well, certainly. Which one would you like to hear?
Well, how about The Very Thought of You?
All right. I'll put it on the record player.
Gee, I'd like to hear that, too.
The very thought of you, and I forget to do the little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. I'm living in a kind of daydream. I'm happy as a king, and foolish though it may seem to me, that's everything. The mere idea of you, the longing here for you, you'll never know how slow those moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the longing here for you, the very thought of you, my love.
Frances, that was just wonderful.
Oh, it certainly was.
I'm so glad you asked me to write the program notes on the cover of the album.
I'll take that record, Miss Bergen. Would you mind autographing it for me?
Not at all.
Right here on the label, please.
Okay. There you are.
Thank you. And you can keep the cover. That's the corniest thing I've ever read.
Come on, Mary. We better be going.
Okay. It was nice talking to you, Frances.
Thanks, Mary. So long, Jack.
See you later, Frances.
You wanted to get your sister some records.
I did, but on second thought, it's silly trying to pick out a record for her. I might send her something she's already got. I wonder what
hey,
I can...
Hey, mister, are you sure you didn't see my wife?
Look, I'd like to help you, but I don't know what your wife looks like. Has she any identifying marks?
Well, she's got a birthmark on... Never mind, I'll look for her myself.
Yes, yes, you better.
Chloe!
Gee, it's so hard to know what to get for Florence.
Say, Jack, here's the jewelry department. They're having a big sale on watches.
Watches? I don't know. My sister already has 2 wristwatches. Only got 2 arms. I know. I could get her a 12 handkerchiefs.
That's silly. She only got 1 nose.
Mary, I wish you...
Hey, wait a minute, Jack. Isn't that Rochester over there at the counter?
Yeah, I bet he's buying something for me. I'm going to eavesdrop and see what he gets me.
Jack!
Quiet, Mary.
May I wait on you?
Yeah, I'm looking for a Christmas present for my boss.
For your boss, how about a tie?
No, he's got lots of those.
Well, how about a wallet or a money clip?
Money clip? What's a money clip?
You know, it's a thing to hold your folding money.
I've never had any that folds. How's it work?
Well, it's a spring-like metal clip that holds the money tight.
He's got a fist that does that.
You know, from the things you've told me, your boss sounds rather unusual. Who do you work for?
Mr. Benny.
Jack Benny?
Uh-huh.
Wow, what are your duties with Mr. Benny?
Well, besides being his rumba partner, I'm his personal secretary, legal advisor, attorney at law, and I used to select the scripts for the movies he made.
You picked his movies?
He had to blame somebody.
Well, I don't agree with you. I think that Mr. Benny is a great entertainer, whether it's stage, screen, radio, or television. And as far as I'm concerned, his last TV show was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
You keep talking like that and you'll be in line for a pencil sharpener.
Come on, Mary, I've heard enough. Mary, I still don't know what to get
Mr. Benny, imagine running into you again.
I thought you finished your Christmas shopping.
I had to come back. I forgot to get a present for my uncle. I'm buying him a cigarette lighter.
Ronson?
No, his name is Shapiro.
So long.
Jack, we don't seem to be getting anything accomplished.
Look, Mary, you don't buy the first thing you see, you know.
Well, I'll make it easy for you. If you like, I'll go and pick out a nice pair of stockings for your sister.
Mary, if I want to send my sister stockings, I could pick them out myself. Didn't I send you a beautiful pair for your birthday?
Some stockings. When I wore them, everybody thought I was a nurse.
Well, they got you a part on medic, so don't complain. Let's try the other side of the door.
Yes, sir. May I help you, young man?
Yeah, I'm looking for Christmas gifts for my parents.
Oh, your mother and father, eh?
Yeah, how did you know?
I just figured it out.
Yeah, I wonder what Mother would like. Oh, say, I know. I'll get her one of these. What size is this one?
38.
No, that'll be a little too small. What size is this one here?
Well, that's a 44.
Oh, that's fine. Put some bullets in it and wrap it up, huh? Go ahead.
Well, frankly, I'm a little reluctant to sell this to you. Does your mother know how to use a gun?
Oh, sure. She's a crack shot. Every morning she practices shooting an apple off my father's head.
No.
Yeah, she only missed once.
What?
Now it doesn't make any difference if Pop sits in front of me while I'm watching the television. Say, what about these shirts over here?
Oh, they're very nice. They'd make a wonderful gift for your father.
No, I got him some last year, but I was thinking of that blue one for my boss, Mr. Benny.
Well, it's a very smart shirt. The collar is the latest thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Dennis.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Dennis. Doing your Christmas shopping?
Yeah, I was just going to decide on Mr. Benny's gift, and he had to walk up and spoil the whole thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. I didn't know you wanted it to be a surprise.
Yeah, now you'll have to close your eyes.
Okay.
You got them closed?
Uh-huh.
Okay, mister, you can wrap it up now and put it in a shoebox so you won't know it's a shirt.
Can I open my eyes now?
Yeah.
Gee, that was a close one.
Mr. Benny, is he always this way?
Only when he talks. When he sings, he's a different person.
I'm a regular Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis. Show him how you can sing.
In which voice?
What?
A Jekyll is a bass.
Now cut that out and sing your song.
Okay, okay.
When you've grown up, my dears, and are as old as I, you will often ponder on the years that roll so swiftly by, my dears, that roll so swiftly by, and of the many lands you will have journeyed through, you'll oft recall the best of all, the land your childhood knew. Your childhood knew toil and little girl and boy land, while you dwell within it, you are ever happy then. Childhood's joy land, mystic merry toil land, once you pass its borders, comes a dreary day when mid the locks of black appears the first pale gleam of gray, my dears, the first pale gleam of gray. Then of the past you'll dream as gray-haired grown-ups do, and seek once more its phantom shore, the land your childhood knew. Your childhood knew toiland, little girl and boyland, while you dwell within it, you are
was real good. You see, mister, I told you, when Dennis sings, he becomes an entirely different...
Gee, he fell asleep.
Well, he's been up since 5:30 this morning.
Will you help me move him off the counter?
No, leave him there. Maybe somebody will buy him. Come on, Mary, let's keep moving or we'll never get our shopping done. Now, let me see if I could just think of something different to buy for my sister. My worries...
Oh, Jack, look! There's June Allison. June, Jack, Mary.
Hello, June.
Hello, June. You look wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Mary. I haven't seen you since we were shopping together in London last summer. And, Jack, I'm so glad I ran into you today. I want to thank you very much for remembering me.
Oh, did you get my present already?
Oh, no. Just the card telling me you were going to send me one.
Jack sent you a card?
Uh-huh. I think I've got it here. Oh, yes, here it is. I'm sending you a present. The 25th is the date, so you'll have plenty of time to reciprocate.
See, isn't that a nice poem?
Sounds more like a ransom note.
It does not.
Then why did you throw it through my window tied to a rock?
Rocks are cheaper than stamps, and let's drop the subject.
Oh, by the way, June, I saw your latest picture. You can't run away from it, and I just loved it.
Oh, thank you, Mary. My, I certainly enjoyed doing that picture with Jack Lemmon.
By the way, your husband, Dick Powell, directed that, didn't he?
Yes. And if I do say so myself, I think he did a wonderful job.
Well, frankly, June, I'm very disappointed in Dick, and I wish you'd tell him when you get home. You see, he led me to believe that I would have the leading role in that picture.
Well, he was going to use you, Jack, but then at the last minute he changed his mind.
Why?
Well, he figured that if on the marquee it said, Jack Benny, you can't run away from it, people wouldn't know whether it was a title or a warning.
Tell Dick not to be so smart. I remember when he couldn't get a job in this town.
You can remember when Ethel Barrymore auditioned for Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm.
All right. But seriously, June, you make a lot of pictures. Why is it that you and I never make a picture together?
Well, I know you're popular here, Jack, but the trend now is to make pictures for the international market.
But they love me over there. Look at the Palladium in London last summer. You were there, you remember. Right in the middle of my act, the audience stood up and cheered for 10 minutes.
Oh, yes, I remember. That was the night the Queen walked in.
Yeah, well, I told one of my big jokes, and they cheered for another 10 minutes.
That was when the Queen walked out.
Walked out.
Jack, look at that strange package that woman is carrying.
Where?
Over there. Looks like Dennis Day's head sticking out of it.
Somebody did buy it.
Well, I've got to run along.
Okay, June, give my best to... Hey, June, why are you limping?
Oh, it's nothing too bad. But you know, a strange thing happened. When I came downtown to go shopping, I stepped off the curb and some idiot driving a piano ran over my foot.
Driving a piano?
Mary, I'll explain it to you later. Goodbye, June, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Now, Mary, I don't want to be here all day. I'm going to get that other present for my sister. Let's go over to the perfume counter.
Well, Jack, I've got some other shopping to do, so I'll meet you there later.
All right, Mary, don't be too long. See, I wonder what kind of perfume I
should... Oh, there you are.
What?
Where is she?
Oh, for heaven's sake. Why do you keep asking me about your wife? I told you I don't know what she looks like.
Well, here, I'll show you a picture of her. See?
This is your wife?
Yep. Seems silly of me to keep looking for her, don't it?
Anyway, mister, she must be in the store someplace, so just keep looking. You'll probably find her.
I hope not. So long, Rube.
Rube?
Chloe!
So I can stop running in such... Oh, here's the perfume counter. Must be something nice here for my sister. Oh, clerk. Clerk.
What can I do for you, sir?
Are you the salesman here?
Yeah.
You're the salesman in the perfume counter?
Don't take my word for it. Smell me.
I'll take your word for it.
Thank you. Now, what kind of perfume would you like to buy?
Well, what kind have you got?
I've got Taboo, Temptation, Shocking, White Shoulders, Surrender, and you should excuse the expression, My Sin.
Let's see some other perfumes, please.
Okay. We have some very nice imported ones. Evening in Paris.
Uh-huh.
Midnight in Madrid.
Uh-huh.
And here's a domestic one. Morning in the Smog.
Are they bottling it now?
Why not? We got enough of it.
Perfume right here.
That comes to $580 with the tax.
Well, okay, I'll take it.
Oh, Jack, Jack.
Here I am, Mary.
Well, I finished all my shopping. How about you? Did you find anything for your sister?
I sure did. I'm getting her a nice bottle of perfume.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
Now, where do you want this scent?
It goes to 185 Pine Street, Chicago, Illinois.
185 Pine... Oop. The pencil broke. Do you happen to have a knife on you?
No, I don't.
Well, I can get it with my fingernail. You know, of all the presents I get for Christmas, you'd think someone would send me a pencil sharpener.
What did you say?
I said you'd think someone would get me a pencil sharpener. There's a gift a person can really use. Now, what was the rest of that address?
Forget it. Forget it. Come on, Mary.
Oh, but, mister, what about the perfume? Mister!
Jack, you mean you're not going to buy your sister...
You heard the man, Mary. And from now on, I'm not letting anyone influence me.
Oh, boss!
Mary, I can hear Rochester calling me, but I can't see him.
Over here, boss!
There he is, Jack, behind that gift-wrapping counter.
Rochester, what are you doing there?
I came down to the store to do some shopping, and they gave me a job.
But, Rochester, you're my butler. How can you work for somebody else?
Oh, but, boss, I can use the money. They pay $3 an hour.
I don't care how much they... What did you say?
They pay $3 an hour.
Well, move over. It's a night I belong to some money. Yes, tonight I belong to... Ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure tonight to do this special radio program. I want to thank the members of my cast and my special guests, June Allison and Francis Bergen, for appearing. As the Christmas season approaches, my entire cast and I would like to join in wishing every one of you a very happy and joyous holiday season. And may the new year see true peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
Appearing on tonight's program were Mel Blanc, Artie Auerbach, Sam Hearn, Elliot Lewis, Benny Rubin, Joe Kearns, Herb Bigren, and Charlie Bagby. The Jack Benny program was written by Sam Perrin, George Balzer, Al Goldman, Al Gordon, with music conducted by Malin Mary and produced by Hilliard Marsh.
The preceding Christmas program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.